You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and joining us now is a woman who's got her fingers in many pies, campaigning and speaking out on a wide range of issues facing blind and partially sighted people, including education and employment, amongst many others. And she's also a mother of two. Joining me now is Amrit Dhaliwal. Thank you very much for joining us. So, first of all, can you tell us a little bit about where your journey started with sort of public speaking and speaking out in support of the issues that are faced by people with sight loss?
Yeah, I've been registered blind since I was about 5 years old. So, especially during my teens and early adulthood, I've always tried to get involved with specialist organisations for disabled people, and I've been connected with RNIB, I think, since I was about 11, 12 years old. So whenever an opportunity has come that I can, you know, get involved, I've always done that. But when I got married, I have two children. But when they were in secondary school, I found that I had a lot more time on my hands to work on projects and you know, commit more time to that. So I began phoning local charities, and during that search, Leonard Cheshire said to me that they have a role which is known as a disability speaker, where disabled people go into organisations and talk to them about their experience and also talk to them about how they can make their services and organisations more inclusive and accessible. And that was completely in line with what I wanted to do. I've been with them about nearly 3 years now. And from that work as a speaker, they were able to see that I'm a confident speaker. I present well to an audience. And then the opportunity came up to be a media volunteer. Said that sometimes we get approached by external communication teams that want someone with visual impairment, again, you know, to share their experience on different aspects of life, or there might be a campaign running and they want a spokesperson for that. And that's what I've been doing with Leonard Cheshire for the last 3 years, and absolutely enjoy it.
When that opportunity first came up, you say, you know, you're a confident person. Were you ever a bit nervous about that role, or was it something that just felt like a fit to your personality?
That's a really good question. Yeah, because having the children, I was at home for 10, 15. Parent would know that you kind of become then a mum, and you kind of lose sight of your kind of individuality. And being at home, you know, I wasn't having much contact with the outside world, you know, other than kind of, you know, schools and anything directly to do, you know, with the children. So I did find initially that I had kind of lost that initial confidence that I had. I had to really kind of pluck up courage to pick up the phone again. But I found what was really helpful was just explain to whoever I spoke to where I was at, you know, to say that I've been, you know, a home mum for 15 years. I've got time on my hands now, and I'd like to get back into doing some voluntary work or work experience. And so, yeah, initially I was nervous, but I found that they were really understanding and really needed someone to do this. They, you know, they still are looking for as many people as possible come forward really and share their experiences with others.
It is so important, that lived experience, and it's at the core of the work that RNIB do as well. Was it important for you that that was what you were doing? You were going out to tell your own story and your own experiences as a blind woman, as a mother, and about the experiences that you've had in your life?
Yeah, and it's something very new to me, and I don't know if other people can relate to this. I've gone through many different stages in my visual impairment. So I was 5, you know, when I began losing my sight, and throughout my life I've had to adjust and adapt to different, you know, levels of vision, because the main condition I have is glaucoma. And for the first 15 years of my life, I was very much influenced by what we call the medical model. There was very much focus because of the culture, Asian culture that I come from as well. And everyone around me, you know, which I don't blame them, because any parent would do anything to help their child be able to see again. But there was very much that focus that I can't live my life unless I have vision. And so we've got to kind of fix the problem and you know, help you to be able to see again, and then you can have a quality of life or be able to move on with your life. And I felt during that time that being blind was something to be ashamed of. It wasn't something that was, you know, it wasn't valued. It's something that needs to be got rid of. And so I didn't share it, and I didn't think that anyone would want to know about it. And I certainly didn't have any role models. I didn't know anyone else that had a visual impairment that I could, you know, aspire to, that I could connect with and talk about the issues I was going through, because what I was feeling as a young visually impaired person was in complete contrast of what was happening around me. And because I was so young, I just went along with it to protect others, and because I didn't know any other way, I thought this is the way that I've got to get better, because they adults, they know better that without my vision, I'm not going to have any form of quality of life. But that changed for me when I went to a specialist school, Linden Lodge School in Wimbledon. And that's when I would say that I began experiencing the social model of that it's society and people's attitudes that need to change, irrespective of whether I can, whether I can't see. And I would say the more I've experienced that and learned that, I've become more accepting of my own vision impairment. And certainly this work that I did with Leonard Cheshire really has helped develop that and brought it home to me. And it's been emotional at times as well, because, you know, when I had to share my experiences, I had to really think about it in a way that I could present it to others. And I found myself sometimes thinking, oh my gosh, like, I didn't know I felt like that about things, because up until now, I've just got on with it. I've never really thought about why I do things the way I do or how I feel about them. It's just been, just get on and get through life.
And really, you mentioned earlier that when you were growing up, there wasn't very many role models you felt that represented you, that you could sort of look up to. I mean, with the stuff that you're doing now, people are going to see you as a role model. Is that something that you intended to do when you set out, or is it just something that's happened naturally?
Yeah, it's something that's happened naturally. Because when I first, you know, did this role, you know, I was saying to them that my priority is that I want to make a difference, that any work that I do and voluntary work, it has to make a difference. That's what's going to motivate me. And it has led me on now to wanting to set up a YouTube channel on sight loss. And I want to target the Asian community because I feel that their awareness is still lacking there. And that also does come from my early experience of not having, you know, a role model, and very much this, you know, influence of the medical model, and also this kind of ideology that if you have a disability, it's because in our kind of cultural religion that it's something you may have done in a last life and now you're being punished for it. And that is really, really harsh and absolutely devastating to anyone to have to live under that kind of thinking and prejudice and stereotype. And I would definitely, like, in my own, you know, way, would be able to change that. So it definitely would have helped so much to have had other people, young people that I could relate to as a blind person at that time, because I was just suddenly finding that I was being excluded from everything. You know, I was in brownies and clubs in schools because they, that time, there was very, you know, little knowledge about how to make clubs and groups and services accessible. So the answer was, you can't attend because we won't be able to support you or, you know, cater for you as a blind person.
And it's sort of full come circle that really, to be able to start this YouTube channel and to be this role model for young people to look up to. I'm just wondering if you've got any advice for somebody who's maybe been out of work, like you, have been raising children, maybe had caring responsibilities, or they've just been out of work for a little while and they're wanting to take them first steps back into whether it be work or voluntary opportunities. Because we discussed earlier, it can be daunting at that time. So what advice would you have for somebody who's at that point?
Yeah, I would say with voluntary work, you know, and employment, it is about having that confidence to pick up the phone. And if you haven't, I think it's really important to talk to as many friends and family to open up to them about what you'd like to do. And I think it's really important to ask for that support and help. And I did that initially. You know, I remember, you know, talking to my sister and saying, I don't know, you know, what's going on. Like, I was so confident, and just the thought now of picking up the phone and phoning around just to find out, you know, what's available to me, it's like really daunting. And she was like really supportive in helping me through by saying, okay, well, why don't you just make it your goal to phone just one organisation this week and see how it goes, and then we can talk about it. So I think it's really important to open up to people you can trust and close to you about what you want. And then making that call. And what I found is that people are like so understanding, just like saying, I'm just calling, it's a formal chat. This is what I'm looking to do, I'm interested in. And I wonder if you could help, or if you can pass me on to someone that is able to. And that's what I found. It was literally like a snowball effect that, you know, I never heard of Leonard Cheshire. And, you know, someone said, oh, have you thought, you know, of contacting Leonard Cheshire? And that's, you know, how this opportunity came about. And I think it is, there is so much support out there, you know, from the local job centre to even like the local council and social services. But unfortunately, it is the case of phoning and finding out what's available. And absolutely, for me, or an IB, you know, I don't think there isn't a week when I don't call up the advice line at RNIB and just say to them, look, this is what I'm looking to do, whether it's employment, whether it's looking for a volunteer, whether it's support with technology. And I've never come off the phone without being felt that I've been listened to and supported, or had a call back from RNIB. And I've, you know, I can honestly say that there's never been an inquiry that I feel like I haven't been satisfactorily dealt with that hasn't led anywhere. Lifeline for me, and I've been using them since I was like 11, 12 years old.
That's fantastic to hear, honestly. Listen, I wish I could talk to you for longer, but I'm sure we'll speak again in the next few months, hopefully. But yeah, thank you very much for your time, and thanks for joining us.
No, you're welcome. Anytime.
And remember, of course, if you are ever in need of a little bit of support or advice with anything to do with sight loss, you can call the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999. You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio.